God, for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
This morning, I hope that you have experienced a little bit, I know I have, a little delight, a little surprise. We've done some things different. The bells in the piece that Jana played, the spoken word, weaving together scriptures from the Old and the New Testament. The recognition, it's not very often probably that you young men have 10 or 12 people gather around and lay hands on your shoulder and pray for you, you know, some delight. Another surprise, perhaps, a prayer that we'll say a few times through the rest of the sermon and through the rest of the service. Lord God, we yield ourselves to you. Fill us with your Spirit. Can you say, fill us with your Spirit?
Fill us with your Spirit.
Lord God, we yield ourselves to you. Fill us with your Spirit. And I say, let it happen again. I was sitting right there in that chair, and it was at either Christmas Eve or the Love Feast, and I was overcome with the Spirit listening to the music. There were tears in my eyes. There was this feeling of light and goodness. And that was, have you ever experienced that at the Love Feast or Christmas Eve service? It was amazing. I'd never experienced that in a special service that way. And, you know, I pray, let it happen again. And I think hearing the anthem this morning, it happened again. There was no Christmas tree. But still the Spirit moved, the Christmas tree. The Spirit doesn't need a Christmas tree to move in this church, amen? The Spirit needs a willing servant, a person to come and light a candle like our acolytes, someone to read from God's holy word. Let it happen again. Lord, we yield ourselves to you. Fill us with your Spirit. In 2006... That wasn't quite before you were born, was it, Oz? Not yet, right. A certain goalie named Cam Ward, who wasn't even the team's number one goalie at the beginning of the season, tended the net and blocked just enough shots to lead the Carolina Hurricanes to the prestigious and hard-fought Stanley Cup title. Rod Brindamore cried. Being recently from Georgia, where they had a lot of trouble envisioning a sport in which people walked on frozen water, and in which something called a Zamboni, which must not be a family from around here, actually was a truck that drove around on frozen lakes. And me, originally being from Detroit, whose storied Red Wings had had more NHL championships than years that Carolina had had a pro hockey team, I was quite surprised to learn that there was a team from North Carolina, let alone that they had won the Stanley Cup. Of course, then expectations and hopes were set high for the next seasons. And since, this year is a pretty good year for the Hurricanes, and hopes will be even higher this next year, our team, our time, let it happen again. That's what I say. That'd be a lot of fun for the Hurricanes. Any Caniacs in here? Anybody? We got a few of them. Envisioning revitalization. Envisioning another win this year, or a reinvigoration, or a return to life, a rise from the ashes. Envisioning anything good that might happen again is a wonderful and fairly commonplace experience. Our plans lead us up and down through years, up to the mountains, down to the beach, right? Year after year to relive the relaxation. Let it happen again. We go to reunions to see old friends again. Even we listen to old love songs again and again, and not a few of us imagine some rekindling of all the good brought about by some kind of youthful passion. Let it happen again. And in church, we love our cantatas and our children's Christmas pageants. We love our annual youth Sundays and the vibrant energy brought by mission trips. Let them happen again. Lord God, we yield ourselves to you. Fill us with your Spirit. Of course, not everything is worth repeating. I wouldn't go back and ride the junior high school bus for all the money in the world. And we often find ourselves dreading anniversaries that are associated with loss, and we are so glad that we haven't had to repeat the Cold War and any serious outbreak of a massive pandemic or a church split. We haven't had any of that in recent history. If any of those ever happen again, it will be too soon. Lord God, we yield ourselves to you. fill us with your Spirit. Now, the disciples, shortly after Jesus' birth, they weren't sure what to hope for. They were shocked to be... Jesus' death, not birth. The disciples, soon after Jesus' death, weren't sure what to hope for. They were shocked. They were hanging together mostly, trying to comfort one another, trying to do what Jesus had prepared them to do. Remember in the Easter story, Mary and the women went to the tomb to take care of Jesus' body. They wanted perhaps one last touch from the Master, even if it was from his cold, dead hand as they cared for his body. Maybe they were seeking just to be with him once again, even if it was just a corpse. When the angels appeared at the tomb, the women weren't sure what to do with their astonishment, be excited or scared, but they did end up sharing the news with others. Now, Jesus had risen again, but he didn't take up permanent residence in their midst. How would they get along now with this new way of life? We've rehearsed some of these stories. We've told them again throughout the Easter season. Simon, James, John, Thomas, they went fishing again, evidently trying their hand at their old professions, now that their run with the Master had come to an end. Cornelius, who was an even more distant follower of Jesus, was found with a friend stunned and saddened and walking out past the suburbs of Jerusalem, trying to make sense out of recent events. You know they were wondering, somewhere down beneath that pit in their stomach, somewhere down beneath that lump in their throat, they were wondering whether it would all happen again, whether any of it would happen again, whether the healing or the laughter, the peace or the learning, the transformation or the miracles that Jesus performed, would they come about again? Jesus then showed up with Cornelius, gave him a taste of things to come, that Jesus was the fulfillment of all their holy scriptures. And then, as we just heard, Jesus' instructions to go to Jerusalem to wait for the Spirit. Jesus telling the disciples in his post-mortem message to stay together, to pray, to wait for the Spirit. And we notice perhaps a couple of things. One, they needed to be reminded to stick together, because our tendency is to break apart. Second, they followed Jesus right back into the middle of trouble. Remember that many of the disciples had scattered because they were afraid that the same fate that had fallen upon Jesus, that is, he was killed, would fall upon them. Those that killed Jesus might kill his followers too. They were worried that the violence might happen again. But they obeyed, according to the book of Acts. They obeyed. They were together during the festival of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, when Jews from all over the world gathered together. And all of a sudden, as they were in that place, there was a sound like a mighty rushing of wind. And it looked as if tongues of fire hovered over each of their heads. And then they started talking. And they said, "We got the Holy Spirit. Yes, we do. We got the Holy Spirit. How about you?" "Yeah, I know. It works for Miss Pam." No, they didn't say that. But they did start talking in languages from all over the world. The people outside, they heard the commotion. And then one of two things happened, and we're really not sure which. Either there was so much noise that the people outside went in to check it out, or there was so much Spirit-filled energy that the Jesus followers spilled out into the streets. And what amazed the Jews from all over the world was that they each heard these simple fishermen folk speaking in their own language. And so oftentimes we focus on the languages and the unity that came about, but I think this story is more universal than foreign languages, because the first thing that happens, even before the shock of the scenario wears off, the first thing that happens is that Peter, the most bumbling of the bumbling disciples, all of a sudden makes himself a podium and starts to explain to the masses what is going on. "Ladies and gentlemen," he says, "these folks aren't drunk as you have supposed. Rather, the same Spirit that inspired the writing of your most sacred scriptures has filled them up. Let it happen to you too, here in this room. Let it happen to you too. Let it happen again. Lord God, we yield ourselves to you. Fill us with your Spirit." When the choir was singing this morning, did you feel anything going on? They started out in kind of low key, and then something happened. Did you notice it? Did you feel that? Brothers and sisters, the very same Spirit that moved over the waters, the very same Spirit that made the sound like a rushing wind, if you felt that, that Spirit is what made that happen inside of you this morning. I heard the claps. They started from over there. You were wondering, do I clap? Do I not clap? I don't know. Do we clap in this church? I don't know. Do I clap if the pastor doesn't say to clap? I don't. You're wondering. But then you just broke out in some clapping, not to say, good job, choir, but to say the Spirit did something in our hearts this morning. I think that's what that was all about. It happened here. It happened again. Lord, we yield ourselves to you. Fill us with your Spirit. Have you ever wondered how for so many, maybe even yourself, that life doesn't operate like it should? I mean, you're just bumping along. You try this, you try that. You try your best, but things don't seem to get any better. You listen to the exercise gurus, but the weight doesn't stay off. You listen to the financial gurus, but you still fight over money. You even listen to the spiritual gurus telling you to do more for the church, sin less, pray harder, but you don't feel much closer to God. And you keep screwing it all up. So heck yeah, if there was something good and overwhelming that happened on that Pentecost morning 2,000 years ago, I say, let it happen again. I'm game. Lord God, we yield ourselves to you. Fill us with your Spirit. Now, I know in this short year, I've already told you this story. And this time, I'm going to tell it again, not because I have sort of early onset dementia or anything, but because I think it's a fitting analogy to the life of the church. In 1995, I took a three-week-long bike ride with a friend from Oregon. We went up the West Coast on bicycles from Eugene to the San Juan Islands in Northwest Washington. It was one of those live free or die kind of trips. I trained for the trip by riding on a stationary bike two or three times the week before. I learned that amount of training was not sufficient. When I flew out to the West Coast, I didn't own a bike, so I rented a car at the airport. Now, mind you, I'm going on a bike trip, but I didn't own a bike. So I rented a car at the airport. I drove it to a bike shop. I bought a bike. I put it in the trunk. I drove back to the airport, turned in the car, and then rode my bicycle out back to the beginning of the trip. We were just ultimately prepared. The next day, we set out. Things were going good for the first mile. Before I got a flat tire. A flat tire? We're only a mile in, but luckily we were prepared. We had a pump and a patch and all the right tools. We kept our cool. We reinflated the tire. We got back on our way feeling pretty good about our competence. Until 3 miles later when I got another flat tire. Oh, this is going to be a long trip. We'd never taken a trip like this, and we did it again. And we did it again, the same process, another flat. But it didn't bode well. Our 700-mile trip was going to take us longer than we thought. A few flat tires later, we rode into a town that had a bike shop. We told him about our problem, the guy behind the counter. He asked us if we had a tire gauge. We said, for what? Look, it's hard, like kicking it, the bicycle equivalent of kicking the tires. It's full. He said, let me show you something. He put the gauge on, and it registered 45 pounds per square inch, 45 PSI. He said, see this little fine print on the rubber that goes around? It says, inflate to 95 PSI. You're running flat. You're basically running on flat tires. Even if it looks full, it's not. If you run a tire that's not full, the rubber's going to crack and split, and you won't get very far. And so it is with the Spirit of God. We are spiritual beings. We are meant to be full of the Spirit of God, full of the Spirit of God. And if we're not full of God's Spirit, well, it's going to happen again. We're going to try harder. We're going to pedal faster. We're going to fix it better, even with a good-hearted spirit of hard work, patience, and endurance. But without the Spirit, we're going to spend more time fixing flats than we are going where Jesus is leading us. We might look full from the outside. We wear nice shirts and ties, and they're iron guys that are wearing coats. At least they're ironed right here. That's why we wear sport coats. We might look good. We might go to church. We might treat our neighbors politely. We might be successful at work. We might not drink or smoke or chew or go with those that do. We might even send emails lamenting the absence or location of In God We Trust in our courtrooms. But we won't be able to hold anything ultimately substantive or get any place ultimately significant to the kingdom of God if we are not full of the Spirit. We will be running flat. The thing about Pentecost is that it was the beginning of the great scattering of the Spirit in the church. It's the moment when the good news of Jesus, which now included his resurrection and power over even death, was filled with the Spirit of God. It's the time when average fishermen and average tax collectors and followers took a breath of the Spirit so they wouldn't have it to run flat anymore. God filled them to the proper PSI, and they went wherever it led them. Lord God, we yield ourselves to your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit. It is because of that Spirit that we are here today. If we're in Sunday school, and we have studied about the church for months, years, decades, millennia, if that knowledge remains just knowledge and you never truly ask for the Spirit of God to fill you up, you're going to run flat. When you ask and receive the Spirit, you'll be exactly who you need to be in the kingdom of God. Exactly who you need to be. Your weaknesses will become strengths for the kingdom. Your strengths will be offered to God for the sake of the kingdom. Lord God, we yield ourselves to you. Fill us with your Spirit. Church, we are at a crossroads. We're like a place in the Old West where a river and a railroad track cross. We're at the center of a booming community. We think maybe we should do some outreach, but if that outreach isn't full of the Spirit, it will die before it starts. And the same goes for trustee meetings, and Sunday school classes, preschool boards, and mission trips. If the Spirit isn't filling it up, we're running flat and not doing anybody much good. Lord God, we yield ourselves to you. Fill us with your Spirit. And personally, for each of us here, I wonder what the pressure gauge would read if we applied it to our own hearts. I know I have a problem. Sometimes I read a lot or I watch a lot of stuff, and all those ideas rattle around, and I say, my head is full right now. And sometimes I eat too much, and I can say, my belly is full. I ate too much. That happens a lot. But I wonder if my heart is full of the Spirit. Kindness, gentleness, self-control, boldness, justice, prayers, presence, gifts, service, witness. I think I might know the answer of how full we are of the Spirit. I think for many, if not most of us, we're running flat. We're just bumping along. We're spending more time patching holes than we'd care to admit. So I say, let it happen again. As we're gathered here this morning, let it happen again. Let us ask for that sound of a rushing wind to stir our hearts. Let us ask for the tongues of fire to again settle on our heads. Let us ask for the words to speak to a dry and dusty land, words of love that hit their mark, clearly communicating the good news of God's grace in a language of love that the world can understand. Lord God, we yield ourselves to you. Fill us with your Spirit. So let us be filled with God's Spirit that we might communicate by action and word, true love to our spouses, to our children, to our parents. Let us be filled with God's Spirit that we might use the good gifts that God has given us in our workplace, serving those around us to make them better. Let us learn about the world, not so that we can get a good paying job as a doctor, as an accountant, not for that reason only, but so that we can take our destined place in God's kingdom for the healing of the nations. Let us be filled with God's Spirit for the benefit not just of us and our sense of peace, but for the benefit of God's children who are janitors, and God's people who are cashiers, and God's children who are busboys, and God's children who are waitresses, for the benefit of God's people who have migrated from one place to another, for the benefit of God's people who've been convicted of a crime, for the benefit of God's people who are wealthy, for the benefit of God's people who have some limitation to their physical or mental abilities, all of whom are God's children, that they might understand Jesus' good news in their own language, and that they might believe and follow our Lord and Savior. After all, it happened once on Pentecost some 2,000 years ago. Let it happen again. For Lord, we yield ourselves to you. Fill us with your Spirit in the name of the Father, the Son, and today especially the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
We come to this time of prayer in the Spirit of God, and there are many for whom we are praying. You may not have heard yet, and so it's with sadness that I announce that Helene Moran passed away this last week, went to be with her Lord and Savior. And so our prayers are with Debbie, who in addition to grieving the loss of her mom, is also nursing a very hurt shoulder. She fell and broke it when she was walking in to visit her mom one day at the hospital. And so Debbie and Kathy and Jimmy, our prayers are for Buddy Bradshaw, Gail Fitzgerald, who is home now after being in the hospital for some time. Buddy and Ann Street, and Jimmy is up there a lot. Carl and Peggy Jones, they are all at the annex at the hospital here in Roxborough. Our prayers are with Bob Wade, Peggy's husband, who had surgery. He had had shoulder surgery after a fall. They'd put it back together, and then he had another medical condition, and he squirmed around and re-injured it. And so they had to do the same surgery again on his shoulder, and it's very painful surgery. So our prayers are with him. We pray for Mary Calhoun, for she is having a lot of back problems and will be having surgery soon. We also pray for a woman named Betsy Warren, who was a part of this congregation for a long time. She has recently moved back to the area, and we pray for her, for she is battling cancer. We also pray for her daughter, Rachel, who in Florida was driving and had a head-on collision, I believe with a school bus is what I remember, and injured all four of her extremities. So she broke bones in hands and feet and legs and arms. For these, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray too for the family of Lawrence Dixon, for the families of those that were killed or injured in the shooting in Virginia Beach. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for Avion Partridge's family, and for the family of the young man who drowned tragically down in Durham, and for his teachers and administrators that knew and loved him, and friends. Our prayers are with you as well. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
We celebrate newness of life. We celebrate new relationships. We celebrate healing from injuries and illness. We celebrate connections and the promise of a future for our graduates and those that are advancing up a year and another grade level in school. We pray for safe travels during the summer and for many, many, many good experiences that our spirits would be made alive, God, because of your Spirit living in us. For all these things and more, we pray, and we join our voices together into one, praying the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.